Pray with me. Loving God, as we gather, we recall Isaiah's humbling encounter with your overwhelming presence. Like him, we're unworthy yet grateful for glimpsing your glory. In stewardship, may our generosity reflect gratitude for your blessings. Guide us in discipleship, knowing and serving you. With every gift, we express our commitment to follow your call. May we humbly say, here I am, send me. How many of you know who or remember who Mel Tillis is? He was a country singer. How many know, remember what he was known for besides singing country music? Stuttering. So if I remember right, this is a version of a story he told, that he was a Bible salesman. And he was a pretty good Bible salesman. He'd go and knock on the door and, you know, tell about the Bible he has. And he goes, now, would you like to buy a Bible? Or would you like for me to read it to you? Every time I go to prepare a sermon, sometimes I just want to read the whole Bible to you from front to back. And it's going to seem like that today, and it's been hard to cut things back. But happy Trinity Sunday from the one that lives on Trinity Avenue. This has been a hard message to write, coming off of General Conference 2020 this month, that significantly changed the outcome of the 2019 special A Way Forward General Conference, where a traditional plan had prevailed. Personally, as a traditionalist, I held firm the wording of our Book of Discipline that was recently removed. Pastor Tom saw this change long before I recognized it. It's still a little hot. So in just five more Sundays, he's a retired man as he becomes full-time grandpa. So what can I say today? As you look forward to having a new minister, I want to review what you should expect of your pastor. Discipleship Ministry's take on today's lectionary title is an all-consuming presence based off of Isaiah 6. It's the vision of Isaiah being at the throne of the Lord in the temple. It's where he is asked, whom shall I send and who shall go for us? And Isaiah said, here I am, send me. However, before this, Isaiah spoke, woe is me, I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. Yet my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. The point here is Isaiah knows he is unclean or a sinner before the Lord, and he acknowledges this. And then a hot coal from the altar touches his lips, and his guilt has departed him, and his sin is blotted out. And this is a part of a sermon series called Ascribe to God. The New Living Translation that I'll be using for this message says, honor the Lord. The New King James Version uses, give unto the Lord. And others say, bring to the Lord or give to the Lord. And to remind you from our call to worship, Psalm 29, verse 2, honor the Lord for the glory of his name. Worship the Lord in his splendor of his holiness. Therefore, we ascribe honor, give to the Lord, glory, we worship, we are in his presence, a pure holiness. God is holy, who we believe are to be we are to give glory to his name. In the gospel reading from John, we hear, "You must be born again." So God loved the world. Jesus is not to judge the world, but to save it through him. Also in 3:19, and the judgment is based on this fact, that God's light came into the world, but people loved the darkness more than light, for their actions were evil. Our actions follows our belief and what we love the most. Remember, you cannot serve two masters. And then part of what I skipped in Romans 8, we're reminded in verse 12. Therefore, dear brothers and sisters, you have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do. For if you live by its dictates, you will die. But if through the power of the Holy Spirit you put to death the deeds of your sinful nature, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. Next, let's jump to the book of Titus. Titus chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. An elder must live a blameless life. He must be faithful to his wife, and his children must be believers who do not have a reputation for being wild or rebellious. A church leader is a manager of God's household, so he must live a blameless life. He must not be arrogant or quick-tempered. He must not be a heavy drinker, violent, dishonest with money. Rather, he must enjoy having guests in his home, and he must love what is good. He must live wisely and be just. He must live a devout and disciplined life. He must have a strong belief in the trustworthy message he was taught. Then he will be able to encourage others with wholesome teaching and show those who oppose it where they are wrong. Now, let's take a quick look at the vows of an elder of the United Methodist Church. As ordained ministers, remember that you are called to serve rather than to be served, to proclaim the faith of the church and no other, to look after the concerns of God above all, so that we may know that you believe yourselves to be called by God and that you profess the Christian faith. We ask you, do you believe that God has called you to the life and work of ordained ministry? Do you believe in the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Are you persuaded that the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments contain all things necessary for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ, and are the unique and authoritative standard for the church's faith and life? Will you be faithful in prayer, in the study of the Holy Scriptures, and with the help of the Holy Spirit, continually rekindle the gift of God that is in you? Will you do your best to pattern your life in accordance with the teachings of Christ? Will you, in the exercise of your ministry, lead the people of God to faith in Jesus Christ, to participate in the life and work of community, and to seek peace, justice, and freedom for all people? Will you be loyal to the United Methodist Church, accepting its order, liturgy, doctrine, and discipline, defending it against all doctrines contrary to God's holy word, and committing yourself to be accountable with those serving with you, and to the bishop and those who are appointed to supervise your ministry? There are some very serious words in these vows, And also, Rhonda will have a link to the website that I quoted for this in the worship resources. But let us breathe and reflect today. The next person to pastor Clinton First will have a lot of pressure from the bishop, the conference superintendent, from around our community, as the brand of United Methodist Church is under prejudice, and you, the membership, community, and family of Clinton First. Next, let's look from Hebrews. And then after the closing hymn, there's one more book I would like to quote. So Hebrews chapter 13, the first 17 verses. Keep on loving each other as brothers and sisters. Don't forget to show hospitality to strangers. For some have done this, have entertained angels without realizing it. Remember those in prison as if you were there yourself. Remember also those being mistreated as if you felt their pain in your own bodies. Give honor to marriage. Remain faithful to one another in marriage. God will surely judge people who are immoral and those who commit adultery. Don't love money. Be satisfied with what you have, for God said, I will never fail you. I will never abandon you. So we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper, so I will have no fear. What can mere people do to me? Remember your leaders who taught you the word of God. Think of all the good that has come from their lives and follow the example of their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So do not be attracted by strange new ideas. Your strength comes from God's grace, not from rules about food, which don't help those who follow them. We have an altar from which the priests in the tabernacle have no right to eat. Under the old system, the high priest brought the blood of animals into the holy place as a sacrifice for sin, and the bodies of the animals were burned outside the camp. So also Jesus suffered and died outside the city gates to make his people holy by means of his own blood. So let us go out to him outside the camp, bear the disgrace he bore, for this world is not our permanent home. We're looking forward to a home yet to come. Therefore, let us offer through Jesus a continual sacrifice of praise to God, proclaiming our allegiance to his name. And don't forget to do good and to share with those in need. These are the sacrifices that please God. Obey your spiritual leaders and do what they say. Do their work is to watch over your souls, and they are accountable to God. Give them reason to do this with joy and not with sorrow. That would certainly not be for your benefit. Sorry for no heads up, but let's go ahead and do our closing hymn, To God Be the Glory. You may be seated as this benediction is going to be on the long side. I'm trying to break it up a little bit. The book before the book of Revelation is one we often overlook. It's the book of Jude, and only one chapter. This letter is from Jude, a slave of Jesus Christ and a brother of James. I'm writing to all who have been called by God the Father, who loves you and keeps you safe in the care of Jesus Christ. May God give you more and more mercy, peace, and love. Dear friends, I had been eagerly planning to write you about the salvation we all share. But now I find that I must write about something else, urging you to defend the faith that God has entrusted once for all time to his holy people. I say this because some ungodly people have wormed their way into your churches, saying that God's marvelous grace allows us to live immoral lives. The condemnation of such people was recorded long ago, for they have denied our only Master and Lord, Jesus Christ. So, I want to remind you, though you already know these things, that Jesus first rescued the nation of Israel from Egypt, but later he destroyed those who did not remain faithful. And I remind you of the angels who did not stay within the limits of authority God gave them, but left the place where they belong. God has kept them securely chained in prisons of darkness, waiting for the great day of judgment. And don't forget Sodom and Gomorrah and their neighboring towns, which were filled with immorality of every kind of sexual perversion. Those cities were destroyed by fire and serve as a warning of the eternal fire of God's judgment. In the same way, these people who claim authority from their dreams, live immoral lives, defy authority, and scoff at the supernatural beings. But even Michael, one of the mightiest of angels, did not dare accuse the devil of blasphemy, but simply said, "The Lord rebuke you." This took place when Michael was arguing with the devil about Moses' body. But these people scoff at things they do not understand. Like unthinking animals, they do whatever their instincts tell them, and so they bring about their own destruction. What sorrow awaits them, for they follow in the footsteps of Cain, who killed his brother. Like Balaam, they deceive people for money, and like Korah, they perish in their rebellion. When these people eat with you in your fellowship meals, commemorating the Lord's love, they are like dangerous reefs that can shipwreck you. They are like shameless shepherds who care only for themselves. They are like clouds blowing over the land without giving any rain. They are like trees in autumn that are undoubtedly dead, for they bear no fruit and have been pulled up by the roots. They are like wild waves of the sea, churning up the foam of their shameful deeds. They are like wandering stars, doomed forever to blackest darkness. Enoch, who lived in the seventh generation of Adam, prophesied about these people. He said, "Listen, the Lord is coming with countless thousands of his holy ones to execute judgment on the people of the world. He will convict every person of all the ungodly things they have done, for all the insults that ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These people are grumblers and complainers, living only to satisfy their desires. They brag loudly about themselves, and they flatter others to get what they want. But you, my dear friends, must remember what the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ predicted. They told you that in the last times there would be scoffers whose purpose in life is to satisfy their ungodly desires. These people are the ones who are creating divisions among you. They follow their natural instincts because they do not have God's spirits in them. But you, dear friends, must build each other up in your most holy faith. Pray in the power of the Holy Spirit and await the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will bring you eternal life. In this way, you will keep yourselves safe in God's love. And you must show mercy to those whose faith is wavering. Rescue others by snatching them from the flames of judgment. Show mercy still others to others. But to do so with great caution, hating the sins that contaminate their lives. Now, all glory to God, who is able to keep you from falling away and bring you with great joy into his glorious presence without a single fault. All glory to him who alone is God, our Savior through Jesus Christ our Lord. All glory, majesty, power, and authority are his before all time and in the present and beyond all time. Amen. And now our final song, Spirit of the Loving God.